Hello, hello, hello. It's time for Nightside. My name is Paul Farvar.
And I'm Dr. John Duffy.
Dr. John, you do not have your headphones. It looks like we've already got a snafu.
We've already got a snag.
We got to start over. Can we record again? Oh, it's live. My bad. We are going to take over the airwaves for the next 2 hours. We are going to encourage calls. For those of you that don't know, we are experts in relationships. Between us, we have 25 years of psychological therapy relationship expertise. Is that right?
That's between us, right?
Yeah. How many years is that?
I've got 24.9. And, okay. And I assume.
Yeah, I'll take the credit. I was going to give you all 25. We have both successfully been in relationships for 27 years. Dr. John, how long have you been married?
I've been married 26.9
okay.
years.
So we're here for you. We are going to be your dating coaches. 312-981-7200. For those of you who don't know us, my name is Paul Farvar. I'm a comedian. I run a show called Singles Only. It's a podcast where we talk about and celebrate being single. And Dr. John, tell them about your podcast and your background.
Yeah, so my name is Dr. John Duffy. I've been practicing private therapy for about 25 years now. And my wife Julie and I
correct, we have to be accurate on this
show.
Let's
be clear. Have a podcast called Better that you can find where all better podcasts are heard.
And you titled it Better. How'd you come up with that name?
Right, that's a good question.
I know I'm asking good questions.
I initially came up with the idea, the Dr. John Duffy podcast, had a whole steering committee help
right.
me come up with that.
Very original, like the Dave Matthews Band.
And then I remembered something from my Catholic catechism from when I was a little kid, the words undue anxiety. And so I named the podcast Undue Anxiety for about a year.
Okay.
And then I realized anxious people don't want to hear a podcast with anxiety in the title.
Yeah.
So we, did, my wife.
Especially if you're trying to get people not to be anxious about anything.
Precisely. So we finally came up with the idea, well, what are we really looking to do here? We're trying to make things better. Why not just keep it simple, call it that?
Make things better. Not that you're better because you are in a successful relationship.
We're not saying that explicitly.
Okay.
No.
Because the one thing that we talk about on my podcast is that there is this stigma, if you will, of being single, especially when you're older.
Right.
And we say that you don't have to. You don't have to be in a relationship to be a happy person. That's what I argue. And that brings us to one thing we're going to be asking and talking about first, I think, on the show. Is marriage outdated? I think it is. I think it's an outdated institution. And I think you told me off the record that you agreed. Is that right, Dr. John? Did I quote you correctly?
Not precisely, Paul. So let me clarify my stance here on the irrelevance and outdatedness of marriage. Being a married man, I find the institution to be helpful. I enjoy the commitment that I have to my wife. I think she enjoys the same back to me. And a lot of the people that I work with, the foundation of their relationship, the thing, part of what cohes them together is this idea that, hey, we did this thing years ago. We celebrate this thing every year. And this is part of what holds us together. This is part of the glue, even when things aren't going that well.
Wrong answer.
Right. Of course.
I just wanted to push that button. Kasara is producing us tonight. Kasara, you're going to weigh in on these matters as well, right? You think marriage is outdated.
Yeah,
is that,
of course. I'm here. Let's do
you're this. On my, you got my back.
I don't really know much, but yeah.
You've been successfully married 3 times. Is that right?
Oh, no. Never. The ring, I have fears. I have a horrible fear of marriage.
Well.
You do have a fear of marriage?
Yeah.
What's the core nature? What's the main thing you're afraid of when it comes to marriage?
I think just one, it failing, but also two, like it not properly working out. I don't know. Just the idea of even putting a ring on someone's finger just doesn't sit well with me. I don't know.
You're so young. You cannot worry about that stuff.
Yet. Right. I think that's also another big issue. Is just I'm only 23 and I can't even fathom you know, picking one person to be with. I have a hard enough time picking what shoes to wear day by day.
Yeah,
so. And I think it's reasonable at 23 that that is not in your vernacular right now.
Yeah,
I
don't not think at that all. Has no, to be. That is nowhere near any of my right. core challenges right now in life.
312-981-7200. Tell us your thoughts. Here's my thought, Dr. John.
Let's hear it.
When marriage was created, people had a lifespan of, what, 30, 35 years?
That's probably about right.
So, till death do you part was a commitment of 15 years, maybe 20
right.
tops. It wasn't a big a commitment as it is now. Now people are getting married in their 20s. And if Casera were to get married tomorrow, that would be like a 50-plus year commitment.
Even
that's
more.
Insanity.
It's a very long time.
They it's say outdated.
The first person who's going to live to be 150 is already living. So for Casera, it could be, you know,
yeah.
100-year
commitment.
Yeah, 125-year marriage. I don't even know. Is that the gold anniversary?
I don't know what that is. You call it. Yeah. But it's scary and it's wrong. And here's the thing. I read a book called Sex at Dawn. I don't know if you're familiar with this book, but they talk about how humans and all animals are not monogamous. It's not natural to be monogamous. It's a book done by a sociologist, one who's married and one who's not, and they talk about it. It's a very popular book. It was voted one of the top 50 books of this generation or whatnot, and that's why I read it, and I was like, oh, this is going to be some crap, but it was actually really interesting. It talks about all the different species and how people are always like, oh, well, penguins are monogamous. They're the only ones. And that's not even accurate. Like,
it's not?
No, it's not.
Well, here's what I would argue about the human mind versus the penguin mind or another mind in the animal kingdom is that we have this frontal lobe. And so we have this power of thought and control, and we can commit to other people. And I think I have this belief that a lot of us want that. We want that commitment. That's that connection is a lot of what brings meaning to our lives.
Hmm.
And well, sharing that experience.
I don't agree with you, but I think that we will have to talk about it more. But we have to take a break right now. Stay on board. We are going to be back in a minute to talk about this. By the way, call us, text us with your thoughts, 312-981-7200. We're also going to be talking about pivotal relationships in a relationship, pivotal moments in a relationship, whether it's when you realize he or she was the one or he or she was not the one.
Absolutely.
A deal-breaking moment. Give us a call. We'll be back more in a minute.
It's a beautiful night.
Song.
I like Bruno Mars, but I don't like the concept of this song. We are back on WGN Radio 7200. My name is Paul Farvar.
And I am Dr. John Duffy.
We are here to take your calls and texts about your thoughts or any questions you might have about dating, relationships, communications. You have two experts who have 25 years of psychology and therapy experience between the two of us and 27 years of successful relationships. We were talking about marriage, Dr. Duffy, and we got a text, someone disagreeing with me, saying from the 708, let's see here, what are they? Oh, this is a long one. Marriage is not an outdated. It's not outdated. It takes a whole lot of communication with spirituality, only committed to each other with a capital C. Commit to each. Two people love each other. They're connected for the entirety of their lives.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think of that?
Well, explain divorce then. I don't know.
You know, okay, so I will speak to divorce for a second. So I like this idea that it takes commitment and connection, right? This is why people choose to get married. And you're right. Still, even today, even though the divorce rate is climbing down as people wait longer to get married, which is something we can talk about at some point, still, even in the relationships that end, the marriages that end, people find a lot of satisfaction in those relationships. People reflect back fondly sometimes on marriages that have ended.
But you can say that same thing about relationships. I've been in countless relationships that are not marriage, not even close to marriage. And I've always walked away saying the silver lining is this. Even relationships that were toxic, you learn from those. You grow personally and individually. Marriage, on the other hand, you're growing with another person. And I sincerely believe that it also takes a little bit out of you because you don't grow personally, and people grow out of a marriage because they find a passion that steers them away from what, you know, let's say you have two people who love to smoke pot and go to Grateful Dead concerts.
Right.
They stop smoking pot. They don't listen to Grateful Dead anymore. And now they discovered, hey, I'm going to be a golf pro.
But isn't that the cool thing about marriage? Is that you grow together, you figure out and you navigate all these differences that you learn about each other as time goes on. And this brings you closer together as a couple. You make each other better, not worse.
In this situation, the hypothetical I gave you, how is that person growing if all they're doing is smoking and listening to music when they could have been this golf pro, you know, all their life and they were like, yeah, I'm not going to do it?
I think that could still be a healthy, non-toxic marriage.
Well, I don't know if that's true because that's a real story. No, it's not. I just made that up. But we got a couple more texts here from the 773, 66-year-old female, never married, wanted to marry, was never asked. Relatives have said I wasn't attractive enough to marry. Oh, that's rude.
That's terrible.
That's not true at all.
No.
There's somebody for everybody, but they don't have to get married.
I would agree with you. I don't think marriage is for everybody. I think it's okay not to get married. I don't think it's imperative. I think for the right people, marriage can be a very enriching thing where, honestly, you can grow together.
Here's another interesting, this one I can relate to. I feel like this person knows me. 323, I think a big reason why I'm single is because I value sleep. Too many guys snore, and I think sharing beds is a completely dated idea. Almost everyone I know is happily married, have their own sleeping space. Do you have your own sleeping space with your wife, Doctor?
We share a sleeping space, but it's perfectly comfortable.
Well, here's the issue. I snore a lot.
And okay.
I've had girlfriends who have to, you know, and I sleep with the TV on and I need kind of some lights because I'm afraid of the dark. Don't ask questions. This is an accurate thing. And they have to put those ear things in their ears so they can sleep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is a solution for you, 323. So,
yeah.
Is this something that's come up a lot?
It comes up actually quite a bit, the snoring thing. And a lot of couples end up sleeping apart for that reason.
Donald Trump does it. He's the president of the United States.
He does. And I separate think that's the, and obviously that's the only issue in his marriage. So
that's why he has a successful marriage.
Exactly. I mean, I think at least we're agreed on that.
No, but I mean, that is a serious thing. Like I know. In the olden days, that was a more common thing where people had separate beds.
Oh, it definitely was. Yeah. I mean, you think back to the kind of Dick Van Dyke kind of era where in the same room, people had separate beds. And, you know, my parents, I'll expose them now that, you know, they're not listening and my father's long gone. My parents slept in separate beds for as long as I can remember. I have a younger brother, so there was a time when they didn't, but for the last many years of my father's life, they slept in separate beds and they were perfectly happy with that, apparently.
I don't know. That's the thing. We got another text, 312. I'm stuck on why did they stop smoking pot. Well, this is a hypothetical. They're talking about their grief. And to be honest with you, it just happens. Sometimes you stop smoking pot because you grow out of it and you got too paranoid the last two times you got high at a Grateful Dead concert in 1995 and you decide you're not going to smoke pot. When you stop smoking pot, you stop listening to the Grateful Dead. It's just it's just the way it works.
They do run together by and large.
Don't they? Yeah. I love the Grateful Dead and Fish so much in college, but then when I stopped smoking pot, I was like, I don't get this music.
So it might just be that they got to a point in their lives where this no longer suited them.
Well, we have calls coming in too. By the way, if you have texts or calls, you want to join the conversation about marriage being an outdated institution or why you're single or why you don't want to be single, or if you have other stories about your relationships and what's made them work, what the problems are, we are here to answer those questions. 312-981-7200. We actually have some serious calls coming in. And let's see here. We got a call here from Annie. Kasera, can you patch that? Let's see. We got, here we go. Annie, are you there? Ann, are you there?
You with us, Ann?
Uh-oh.
Can you hear us now?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are. Hi, Ann.
Hi. You know, I don't think I'm right for this call.
Uh-oh. What happened?
I called... I've been married for a very long time in a strong marriage, and I have a daughter who's been married for 8 years and is in an emotionally abusive situation.
Okay.
And if I brought her husband to you, you would say I was like a nut job. And my question to you is, they're working through this together.
Okay.
They have four very young children, and they are 3, 4, 5, and 6. And like, what I wanted to know, and I this is why I say this is not my call to you. How do I balance my responses to those kids when their father, I believe, is demeaning or diminishing either the children or his wife?
Yeah.
So how do I keep that in place?
I think you're actually...
And with the hope of keeping their family intact.
I'm actually glad you called, Ann, and I think you're calling the right place at the right time. So here's a thought. I think you're in a really tricky situation, and as a grandmother and a mother, your grandkids and your daughter are really, really lucky to have you because you're giving this a lot of thought. And as a grandparent, you could easily step away from this and say, you know what, this is your problem. I'm not going to get involved, but I can tell you want to make some impact here and give the kids some comfort that things are going to be okay. And I think the best way to do that is not necessarily to talk to them about their parents' situation, about their parents' relationship. That's something that their parents really need to work through, in my opinion, with a qualified therapist. What you can do as a grandmother, though, is you can provide some degree of clarity, stability in their lives. If you just be with them and let them know that there is unconditional love available to them through all the chaos that's going on in their lives, that alone, and I've seen this situation more than once in my practice, and I've been doing this a while, that alone will give the kids comfort that they wouldn't have otherwise and just might carry them through what could be a very, very difficult situation otherwise. If that makes sense?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ann, for your call. We appreciate
it. Thanks for calling, Ann. Good luck with that.
312-981-7200. If you have calls that you want us to answer, we are going to be talking more about, is marriage an outdated institution? We're going to take your calls if you got serious calls. That call, Dr. John just worked some magic there. He would usually, that would cost you $400 to $750, right? Is that what you charge?
That's the price range, exactly.
I know
right.
How this works. Yeah. So we just saved you a lot of money. So give us a call, 312-981-7200. We're going to talk about marriage being outdated, what other problems you have with relationships, dating, why you're single, and pivotal moments in a relationship, whether you found out when he or she was the one or when you're like, I can't be with this person right. anymore. Give us a call. Tell us your stories. We've got prizes to give away, too, for callers. 312-981-7200. We're giving away, what do we got? We got Lou Malnati's pizzas.
Yeah.
What's that cool thing we got, too? You're going to describe right, it, so Dr. John. I can't describe this.
We have a certificate for a desktop pre-lit sports-themed artificial tree from Tree Time Christmas Creations. That's on Pepper Road out in Lake Barrington, featuring the most ginormous selection of artificial Christmas trees and unique decorations anywhere.
And we also have tickets to the world-famous Laugh Factory to give away. But right now, we're going to take a break. Stay tuned to WGN Radio. And WGN Radio. My name is Paul Farvar.
And this is Dr. John Duffy.
We are taking you on a relationship roller coaster for the next 2 hours here on WGN. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. We're taking your calls. We are experts. We are going to be the dating coach that you've been asking for or that you didn't know you need. Right? Or relationship coach.
Correct. And lawyer and comedian.
That's true. We are going to play it light, but in all seriousness, Dr. John Duffy is a trained clinical psychologist with over 72 years of experience. Is that right?
It's a little closer to 27. I like okay. to think but you're in the ballpark.
But we are taking your calls. We're talking about making a successful relationship, and that's something you and I have so much experience with. 312-981-7200. Give us a call. Let us know. We were talking a little about sleeping arrangements, and we do have some calls on that. We're going to talk to Barbara here. Barbara, can you hear us?
Hi, Barbara.
I'm here.
What, so tell us a little bit about your situation.
What's your sleeping situation?
Okay, well, I don't have a situation anymore, but I certainly have a recommendation. And I come from years and years and years of experience of sleeping around, so to speak.
I feel you. I'm 80. I feel you, Barbara.
Okay. Married. 10 years. 3 kids. Double bed. No way. Don't anybody ever do that.
Double bed?
You end up more kids than you need. Okay. Divorced for 5 years. I bought a king-size bed that was actually 2 extra-long twins. And so that was in the master bedroom. I don't know where my former husband slept. I didn't bother to ask him around. Anyway, I never had such good sleep. And if the kids wanted to crawl in, there was room for all 4 of us in that bed. And I was like that until I remarried. And I was single for 5 years after that.
Is that when you got a bunk bed, Barbara? Is that where you switch? You're like, this is where I'm just going to have a bunk bed.
No, what I really wanted but didn't get was my own bedroom.
Oh, well, Barbara.
What?
There's nothing wrong with that. No, I agree with that. That's a good idea.
I had all the nonsense, all the fun, and God knows 3 kids is really plenty.
Plenty.
And the fact that you were in the double bed for so many years, that there were only 3 kids, I think, is the marvel there.
Yeah.
Well, he traveled a little. So.
Okay. Well, thanks, Barbara, for your call. We appreciate it. Thank you so much
for calling.
That's a good tip. I don't know. Double bed? What's your thought on that, Dr. John?
I don't know. I think a lot of couples want their own space. The gripe you hear probably more from couples when you do my kind of work than anything else is the hot, cold, sheets tucked in, untucked debate, you know? So to have a bed big enough where everyone can have their own situation seems to work better than the alternative. And that's true in my situation as well.
I have a queen size bed, and on occasion I'll have people sleep over, but everyone's like, well, what size is yours? I'm like, well, technically, like, I just sleep in the middle, and I'm not a very heavy guy, but there is a huge like dent in my bed in the middle, so like if someone sleeps over, it causes back problems because I have a back issue, so it's like a slight slant. So for me, for a lot of years, I'd be like, do I want to like have someone sleep over and have like my back sore tomorrow, or should I just call it a night?
Right.
Those are not the decisions you make.
It's not the greatest pitch for the ladies, Paul. I think maybe getting something without the divot, the dent might be.
Yeah, well, I feel like that's the next step. If I make a relationship past 3 months, I'll be like, you know what? It's time for, it's a new bed. It's just the frame. Something screwed up. But Barbara made a good point. Thank you for calling, Barbara. We have some more calls we want to take here. Sam is calling about a new relationship he's in. Sam, can you hear us? Hi, Sam.
I can hear you. Yes. Hi, how are you?
Thanks for calling WGN. What do you want to talk about with your relationship?
Well, it's new. I'm very excited because this is very interesting. I'm an experienced man. I've been around. This new lovely woman that I'm seeing, we finally sleep together, and we're intimate. And she is so sensitive. The orgasms, they're often. But that's really not my concern or my question.
How did you guys meet, Sam?
I just met her downtown.
At a bar or a restaurant? Oh, okay.
At a restaurant, but and I've known her for a while.
So you guys knew each other. Gotcha.
Yeah, and it was patient. But my real question is, she's a squirter. And I gotta know, is this urine? What is this substance?
Okay, that's a good question. Sam, I am not a doctor, but we do happen to have one here. I think Dr. John, can you answer that question?
I was speaking to Dr. John. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Okay, Dr. John.
So, listen, Sam, I'm a doctor. I'm not that kind of doctor, but I can tell you that just what you're telling us here suggests that you're doing something right. Right?
Yeah, sure.
It sounds like things are going very well in the bedroom. I don't think you have much to worry about. I don't think it much matters what's going on there as long as you are both happy. And, man, that's what I'm hearing with great detail.
Yeah, Sam, we sounds like things are going well for you. And we appreciate your call so much that if you stick around, because Sarah's going to get your information, you can either take you could take tickets to the Laugh Factory. Or the tree, what is that called? The treetop thing?
Yeah, so it's a tabletop Christmas tree, sports themed, from treetime.com out in Lake Barrington.
So thanks, Sam, for calling. Stay on the phone, Sam, because Sarah will take your information. We have another caller. Dan wants marriage statistics. Dan, you're on the phone. Can you hear us?
How are you?
Hey, Dan.
Yeah.
Dan, can you hear us?
I had a two-part. Yeah, I can hear you. I've got a two-part question for you.
Well, we can only guarantee an answer to one. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, Dan.
Let's hear it, Dan.
What's your questions?
Well, if you read around, you get different statistics on how long marriages last and whatnot, and you get various different things. What's been your experience as far as the success rate of marriages?
So, okay, so that's a tricky question, Dan, because that depends on when your marriage starts, how old you are now when your marriage starts, because if you marry very young, the likelihood of your marriage lasting a lifetime is actually shorter than if you wait until, let's say, your mid-20s, early 30s. So part of that depends on age, but still, that statistic that you hear all the time about marriages, about 50% of marriages lasting a lifetime, that's pretty close to holding steady regardless.
Okay, and how does that get reflected if you lose a child?
Yeah, is that something you've run into, Dan?
Yeah, so, I mean, if I summarize it, known her since first grade, mm-hmm. married in our mid-30s.
Right.
And, you know, we've been married for over 10 years now, and we lost an older child, and I'm just... You know, wondering, you know, you read online, it says, you know, 90% of marriages with the death of a child is doomed for failure. And I'm wondering if that's just old information or is that information that's still accurate?
That's a little dated in terms of accuracy. It's less than 90% by a significant margin. Here's my experience with this, Dan. First of all, we are both terribly sorry for your loss. That is awful. It is so difficult to keep a relationship going. What the problem people tend to run into in situations like this is you grieve differently and you grieve at different paces. And so you get frustrated with one another. So the best chance you can give your marriage in a situation like this is to talk a lot about your marriage, about your loss, and to work with qualified therapists. I strongly, strongly recommend that. If you do that and you do that in earnest, I believe you can save your marriage even in a situation like this where you've gone through such a difficult loss and you're grieving on an ongoing basis.
Maybe, do you mind if I ask you one more question?
No,
that
go ahead. Thing? No, please do.
this might sound a little unusual, but this is 100% truth. We did that. We went to a marriage counselor and you know, made tell the story of how screwed up things are. But we were, you know, I was pretty much at the end of the meeting, and we were like, okay, well, when do we do this next Thursday or whatever? And she responded to us that she doesn't think she could help us. That was our marriage counselor.
Oh, no kidding. Okay, well, you're making this easy for me because that's the wrong marriage counselor for you
right.
guys. without question.
I tell my wife, and she says no.
Well, you can play the podcast of this show for your wife, and I'll just throw this thought out. You guys want a marriage counselor who has specific experience with marriage and the loss of a child, and there are people out there. You might have to mind them a little bit, but they are out there. And if you find that person, they will be able to guide you, and without getting spooked on their own by the veracity of the situation.
Yeah, I thought that's what it was too.
Best of luck with this, Dan. We're thinking about you.
Thank you so much for your call. And please, we'll be back next Friday if you want to call and give us an update. We definitely want to help you out. We're going to take a little break here, Dan, and everybody else. If you got questions you want to ask, 312-981-7200. Give us a call or text us. More in a bit. Michael Jackson rocking it out for us. Rest in peace. You're here on WGN Radio. My name is Paul Farvar. We have Dr. John Duffy. We are hosting the last hour, or the new hour here on the 16th of November. We're talking about pivotal moments in relationships. When you knew you're with the person that you wanted to spend the rest of your life, or at least more than 3 months with.
Yeah.
Or the moment when you realize I cannot be with this person anymore.
Exactly.
What was it? I feel like I get a lot of texts recently or messages where people are like, "Yeah, I put you in the friend zone, Paul." And I always like, "Well, what was it?" There's usually like seven things that they have to choose from. Like, was it when I did this? Was it when I did this? When it was I didn't respond? I mean, there's so many things, and I'm always like, "I know it's one of these. I know I'm the disaster." So,
is there a theme? Is there one that you can point to and say, more often than not, it seems to be this?
Unavailability, both physically and emotionally. I think those are the two factors that play a role in me staying single.
That did not take long for you to answer. That is abundantly clear. Yeah,
I've learned a lot about my life. I'm not some little kid here anymore. I've learned how to stay single and navigate this world. But I think now too, it's funny being on the apps that I'm on. If you go scroll through it, I'm like this might be a match, but then I feel like there are people that like are in my age demographic and like in my league.
Right.
And then I find out they didn't swipe. I'm like, why didn't they swipe? I'm like, oh, I know what it is. They know like I'm like a disaster. They've already heard, or they can just tell, like, because you can see in my bio, I say like, it sounds good on paper, but it's not.
And you think people can read through and decide, I can look at this Tinder profile and determine that this man is a disaster.
Yes. With me, they can.
What makes you say that?
Well,
I'm going to call you out on this. Why do you say you're a disaster?
I sound good on paper, but keep your expectations low. And then when I go out with people, we have a great time, and I like to talk to people. I like meeting people, and I just
clearly,
I like to keep it on the safe level. I don't want to go to another level. And it's mostly, I mean, there's probably some therapeutic issues we need to resolve as well, but a lot of it has to do with, you know, I'm so focused on my profession right now and furthering my new career. And I feel like I've got a little gap of time to do what I want to do. I'm sure people, I feel like I can see it in their eyes when I'm on a date where their pivotal moment, they're like, yeah, I am not hanging out with this guy anymore.
Is that right? You really think
I feel it,
detect it, huh?
I feel like when I'm not going to get a call or I expect to get a text. Although I did recently get a text on the plane where I was like, someone dumping me. I was like, oh, that's new. You waited till I left the country or the town. But give us a call. Let us know your pivotal moments. 312-981-7200. Tell us where you are. By the way, you were telling a great story about when you knew your wife was the one. And that sounds great. And especially good for you to admit that she was out of your league.
Oh, yeah.
And especially when you didn't have hair. Like, I think without your hair, lose at least 2 points.
I brought very, very little to the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the truth.
But there was you were telling me a story of a guy who found out who the person was and decided to propose during the marathon. Is this, you were telling me this story,
I was.
Right?
So here's a guy, and you can imagine that this feels in his head like exactly the right idea, right? My bride-to-be, the woman I love, is running the New York City Marathon. This is one of the biggest days of her life, and I'm going to make it even bigger because right at mile 13 and a quarter or whatever it is, I am going to propose to her.
During the marathon.
During the marathon.
She's all sweating. possible has urine from peeing on her.
Right, right, right. She's, it happens. And it's timed, right? She might very well have soiled herself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's all sorts of issues. But he hadn't thought that through. He decided, I'm going to propose. She did, in fact, say yes.
But he got, people were pissed.
Probably. Oh, did he get blasted on social media?
That's her moment. Why are you taking away her thunder?
That was the consensus.
What was his rationale, you think?
I think his rationale was, seriously, we're going to make this the greatest moment of her life, the greatest day of her life. She's going to finish the marathon. She's going to start it single, and she's going to end it as a fiance.
If I ever was to take the plunge and propose, that would never be the way I would do it. But I want to hear what people think are the greatest ways to propose. If you guys have a good idea for a proposal or you did something good, give us a call, 312-981-7200, or text us. We are giving away a Lou Malnati's pizza for your idea. So give us a call to win a pizza. But right now, we've got some more calls that are coming in. We got a call here from Paula. Paula, are you? Can you hear us? Thanks for waiting.
Hi, thank you. Well, you are all over the place with lots of different questions, so here's a different one.
Sure.
You know, you even hear about senior citizens getting married in nursing homes. Well, if they're just average senior citizens, you know, 65, 70, 75, who have never been married or who have been married before,
right,
hopefully not more than once, what sort of, you know, things are going on in terms of getting married or staying married or having a good relationship in that age group?
That's a great question, actually, Paula, because 20 years ago, when I started my career, not much was happening in terms of romance in the senior citizen community. But now, you know, 70 being the new 50 or whatever it is they say, a lot of people are getting married for the second or third time in their 60s, 70s, even 80s. And an awful lot of people, and this is a new trend, was not true before, people who have been single their entire lives end up in a committed relationship as late as their mid-70s. And those relationships, by the way, first of all, tend to last. And the statistics on how fulfilling those relationships are off the charts relative to other relationships for people who are younger.
Well, you just made my night.
Well,
I'm glad to hear it, because I hadn't really considered marriage in my earlier years. And I've gotten to that point in my life where I'm interested in looking.
That's great.
That's exciting, Paula.
Paula, there's one statistic there that's out there that people don't talk about, but in the communities, the retirement homes, there is a surge of sexually transmitted diseases as well. So you're better off sticking one with one man or woman and avoiding all those. Steer your way out of all that trouble. So thanks, Paula, for calling. We appreciate the call.
Absolutely, because that is my idea of something serious and committed and long-lasting.
Well, it's going to be a lucky guy.
Yeah, Paula, thank you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
How fun is that?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That gives you hope to maybe I'll wait it out. Maybe I'll just see how long I think as long as I have good hair, I can stay single. That's what I tell myself.
Hair's not going anywhere. I think at 70, you might just find
I am
the right
on
girl.
A hair cocktail. I take Propecia, I take Rogaine, and I take Biotin. And I'm not even losing my hair, but I'm not taking any chances. They're
honestly
all proactive.
Since we were on the air last week, I think your hairline has come closer down, you know, toward me.
Well, that's the goal. That's the goal. Give us a call if you want to tell us about your ideas for where to propose or where you think is the greatest place to propose. We are giving away a Lou Malnati's pizza, 312-981-7200. Give us your ideas. We will talk to you more in a break, after a break here.
I just called to say I love you. I just called to say how much I care.
We are live here at WGN Radio. My name is Paul Farvar, Dr. John Duffy. Your experts on love and dating.
Here we are.
We were talking about best places to propose. We know the worst place was the marathon at the 13 mile at the New York Marathon. Where did you propose, John?
I actually proposed on the Odyssey. It was a very traditional thing back in the day. Yeah.
Good answer. Okay.
Yeah. With white bucks on one knee. That kind of very, very old fashioned.
Well done. Well done. You do not win the prize for the best idea, however.
Oh, man.
If you have an idea of where you think is the best proposal, or you did actually propose in somewhere amazing, we have prizes to give away depending on what it is. We have a desktop pre-lit tree, courtesy of Tree Time. We've got a Luminati's pizza for the grand prize, and we have four sets of tickets to the Laugh Factory in Chicago for this weekend's show, Drink Date Laugh, on Fridays at 8 o'clock, where we talk about dating, and also on Saturday and Sunday. We have calls coming in right now with people that have ideas for proposals. We have, let's see here, Chris. Chris proposed. Chris, can you hear us? Are you
with
live?
Us, Chris?
Chris. We need Chris. Chris. There he is. Hey, Chris, can you hear us?
Yes. Hello.
How you doing tonight, Chris?
Pretty good.
So you proposed somewhere that you think is prize-worthy. Is that correct?
I did. I actually passed up a couple other opportunities waiting for just the right one. I passed up the top of the Rocky Mountains, and unbeknownst to me, she told me later that she was really mad at me all the way down.
Okay, because she thought she was going to get proposed to? Is that what you mean?
She thought if I was going to do it anywhere, it would be at the top of the mountain.
Okay, so you tricked her. Headshot. Head
so,
fake. Yeah,
so I didn't propose there. I didn't propose at a castle in Wales. Because she had always wanted, her dream vacation was to go to Tuscany.
Okay.
And we took a family vacation, one of my kids, anyway. But we went to Tuscany. And there's a tiny little chapel out in the middle of nowhere, Tuscany, on her dream vacation. And that's where I proposed. And she did not see that one coming. After I didn't propose in the mountains or the castle, she didn't see this coming at
all.
That's
a good...
Took her totally by surprise.
Good head fake, Chris. That's an awesome... I give that 7.5 stars out of 10. What do you say,
Dr. John? I'm going higher. I say that's a 9 because I like the cliffhanger of it. I like the idea that...
Literally.
Right, exactly. that you went to two spots where she thought, oh, this is possible, and then you find this idyllic church in Tuscany, and I can sense that that must have been ideal, and you planned this out, and you really thought it through.
I did. One of I took the ring. I bought the ring here and took it with me. And I was so afraid that going through customs, you know, they would see it in my bag or something, and somebody would pull it out and go, "Oh, so what's this?" And she would see that, and the whole thing would be blown. But
well done.
We made it through, and yeah, it all worked out.
Well done, Chris.
Way to go, Chris.
Please stay on the line. We have a prize for you. You can pick between a Luminati's gift card for $25 or Laugh Factory tickets. Stay on the line because Sarah's going to take your information. We have another caller who has a proposal. Roseanne, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, can you turn down your stereo? Is it on?
No.
Okay.
It's not.
There's a slight echo. Excellent. Roseanne, what's your husband proposed to you? What did he do?
Well, yeah. So when I was a kid, when I was young, before ever, you know, I would just imagine being married, and I was always hopeful, you know, that I would get married someday, and I would go down to my churches. What they had was a grotto, and that had a Mary statue there. And I would go down there, like, a lot of the time, you know, like I'd be having some emotional crisis or whatever, and I would go down there, and I would pray to Mary, and I would just say, please, please bring me a nice, wonderful man so someday I can get married. And so I did meet him, and so 3 years, you know, into dating, and then definitely knowing this is the man. He brought me down there, and that's where he proposed to me.
Oh.
And he got down on his knee and the whole thing, and I was just like, whoa, you know, like, to me that was an incredible place to have been asked.
That's lovely, Roseanne. How did he know that was the place to propose to you?
I must have been, I'm sure I told him about it and how often I prayed down there, you know. And so it was It was just, he knew about it.
Talk about a prayer coming true. That's amazing. Yeah, that's really a great story.
That's a heartwarming story, Roseanne. Even I appreciate it, and I'm against marriage, so.
How about that, Roseanne? You're changing Paul slowly.
Well, yeah, baby steps.
I would say this, Paul. Don't ever give up. If you truly want to be married.
I don't.
Then, okay, then that's different. But, you know, if you, you know, to those who do, I would definitely say don't give up. Find a prayer, whatever that would be, and stick with it. And, you know, maybe your stars will align with someone.
I love that, Roseanne. You're clearly wearing your Team Dr. John t-shirt.
You're on the side of marriage. Roseanne, stay on the phone. We have Casera's going to take your information to see if you want a Lou Malnati's gift card, $25, or a desktop pre-lit tree, or Laugh Factory tickets. You can decide. Stay on the line. She's going to take your information. And by the way, Roseanne, you gave some great advice to the 847. Somebody had called there saying, or texted, I'm 65 and never married. If my Prince Charming ever finds his way to my door, he can propose any way he wants. So 847, take the advice of Roseanne and just, I guess,
absolutely,
wait it out.
Yeah, and find that Statue of Mary or whatever and get that proposal done.
Yeah, if you want to. Or just stick it out. By the way, Dr. John, we had a lot of texts coming in that we didn't get to.
Right.
We were talking about proposals. By the way, if you still have ideas for proposals that you think would be great, or you have a good proposal, please give us a call, 312-981-7200. Let's see here. There's a question here, Dr. John, and I think you should steer this one. 630, what would you do if you found out Tinder? What would you do if you found Tinder on your fiance's phone? Tinder is a dating app for online swiping left and right, for those of you who don't know.
Right.
Dr. John, my answer would be that's probably a red flag. I don't have, you know, 25 years of professional experience,
right,
but I do have some experience on Tinder and I know how that works and what the purpose is.
Yeah.
What would be your professional, would you agree with me or disagree?
You and I don't agree on everything, but there's a few key things. This is one of them. I actually have run into this very thing in my office more than once, but the most recent time, it proved to be a worst case scenario, where in fact this young man that was engaged to my client was using Tinder regularly and seeing women regularly, and she had to confront him and ask him, okay, so what's the deal? Why do you have Tinder on your phone?
What was his excuse?
He gave the excuse that I think everybody I've had ask that question, he gave the same excuse I've ever heard, which is, oh, I didn't know that was still on there.
that's from
before us. Yeah.
You know what's funny is all my married friends, when I would go out, we go on our trips, and by the way, at my age, I'm the only single person of all my friends. So when Tinder first came out, they were fascinated with it because, I mean, they all got married in their 20s and we're all around 40. And so they would go through my Tinder or Bumble and just start talking to all these people. And they think it's so fun. I mean, the people think it's me. So they were
being Paul. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
But then I'd have to deal with the next day. I'd be like, oh my God, like my friend Bob has a clear foot fetish because he's clearly talking. All he's talking about is this woman's feet. But how do you steer that out in terms of, like, how can she stay with that person?
It's really difficult to navigate through that because, in essence, it either suggests cheating or an intent to cheat. And you do you want to speak a little bit to what Tinder is and how Tinder works?
So Tinder, when it first came out, was a hookup app.
Right.
People would meet to go hook up. And for the younger generation, I still think it is. But for people above 35, I think Tinder's made a rebound, in my experience, where people are actually connecting on there for non-exclusively physical relationships. I think people are meeting people. I've met people on there. I don't use Tinder. Actually, my Tinder profile, it like promotes my comedy shows and being on WGN and stuff like that.
Right.
So,
And, but, and there's a geography component to it, right?
If it's distance.
Right. So if somebody's close to you, that's part of the reason that it was so handy for hookups and still is for the younger set.
Right. And I think that that's still something that, that goes on with Tinder. But I think, like, if you're I don't know how you can get around navigating it if you are dating or you're in, if you're engaged. Or you're, and a lot of times people will ask on those apps if you're married, and like, because I think a lot of people go on there while they're married, and they'll go on trips and they'll use that app to, to get away. But we'll talk more about this. We got to take a break here. 312-981-7200. Give us your questions or calls about anything love, dating, or relationship related. We will answer them. Listen to my heart go right up, boot up. Dee-dee-da-doo, boot up. My heart go right up, boot up. Dee-dee-da-doo, it just won't stop. You are listening to Nightside WGN Radio. My name is Paul Farvar, and we have Dr. John Duffy also hosting this amazing show. We've been talking about dating, love lives, relationships. We've answered questions, and by we, I mean Dr. John. I am at, let's just be honest, I have zero qualifications to answer any serious questions.
But you know a lot about dating.
I do.
You've been in the pool for a very long time.
A long time.
There's a lot of experience.
It's a very deep pool. I've been in it. It's been drained, cleaned, tested. It's still a large pool.
The pH balance is sound.
Everything's set. There's been some work done in the that needs to be done, not done, but needs to be done. They need to do some repairs
in the deep end.
In the deep end,
right?
The shallow end's a little messy too. You got to probably can get some reconstruction, lose some weight in here there. But yeah, I still use the apps. I don't. You know, lately I've just decided to kind of take a hiatus from dating because I think dating is, it just means things to different people. And the use of apps or dating now is different than it was years ago. We have a text with somebody that from the 651 who brings up a point you and I were talking about. It's not a proposal story, but I dated the love of my life at 16. Again, I question how you can say as your love of life at 16, but and you're probably saying the same thing, but they dated until they parted ways through their freshman year of college, ended because of pressure from her parents. I needed to grow up. We ran into each other 40 years later, and it was as if no time had passed and are still together.
Pretty sweet story.
That is a good story.
Yeah.
And it brings up the thing about what the dating goals were back when you were younger and years ago when we were younger.
Yeah.
Versus people who are Casera's age and younger who are, you know, they have different goals when they go out on dates.
From what I can tell, the reasons for dating have changed enormously over time. You know, back when I was dating, I think most of us were initially dating because we were drawn to the opposite sex. We wanted to enjoy time with them. And then eventually it became like we all got this kind of bell ringing saying, we should probably partner up at some time.
Because back then everybody would get married.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was this cookie cutter lifestyle where you figure you'd be married, you go to college, meet someone, get married. And now it's seasonal. It's, you got to cuff up. It's cuffing season, right, Casera?
It is cuffing season, yes.
Do you know what that means, Dr. John?
I actually do.
All right.
Yeah. Why don't you explain what cuffing season
is? No, I'm going to have Casera. She's Casera, the millennial in the room. What is cuffing season?
Explain
it for our crowd.
All right. So cuffing season is, it's kind of like the playoffs, right? So, like, playoffs start during the end of August to, like, the end of
You start
September.
Cuffing season in August?
No, that's just when it starts. I didn't say I did. That's when you get all your candidates together, you know, like your players, okay?
Summertime.
Right, because summer's
flings.
Coming to an end, and then fall is starting. So then you're preparing for, like, heavy fall season, which is October. So you want to figure out who you want to be booed up with for the holidays, basically. But it only lasts for so many months. So it's really, like, October until like St. Patrick's Day, because then St. Patrick's Day starts to get warm all over again.
You want to be single.
Right, exactly. Some people go until like right before Valentine's Day because you don't feel like buying them gifts.
But see, that raises this question of when you are cuffed or in the process of being cuffed, then you got to deal with all the holidays.
You
have to deal with Christmas. When do you get a present? You got to go to each other's houses. And then Valentine's Day.
Exactly.
Do you really want to be in a relationship on Valentine's Day? It's kind of do, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing about cuffing season is more so because of the seasons, because it's cold outside. So you want to stay inside more. Yeah, you know, you don't want to go out. You don't feel like going to the club. It's too much work. Is there snow? Is there ice? You don't want to deal with this.
Netflix and chill.
Netflix and chill.
Yeah.
Go to the movies.
In our day, it was called Blockbuster and relax.
Right. Wow.
I don't know.
Wow, that's old times. I remember Blockbuster, though. I was a kid, but I remember Blockbuster. So, yeah, that's the whole purpose of cuffing season. And then you may not even get cuffed. Like me, I didn't get cuffed this season. So now I'm just out here.
And the draft for the cuffing season starts as early as August.
For some
people. Yeah, because you start pulling together, like, your starting lineup. And then really you select the MVP, and they're the winner. And that's
the MVP gets the cuffed for the winter.
And isn't part of the point, so you guys are talking about gifts for the holidays, whether you want to be with somebody during at Valentine's Day. I thought it wasn't just about having somebody to stay warm with during these chilly winter months.
I think that's the majority of it. I don't think it's the holiday. I think the downside, for me at least, if you're in a relationship, is dealing with the holidays.
That is definitely the downside.
The downside, sure. John, is that now you've got to think about Christmas, and then that makes it a little more serious than you're like, is it a permanent cuff? Is it
and
a life sentence?
Early in the cuffing season come Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Christmas is really like the only hiccup, because I mean, Thanksgiving, you know, they kind of give you an excuse to leave your family.
Oh, right.
It's like, oh, you know, I have to go see my significant other. I need to go spend time with them. And then you get two plates on the holiday. You know, and then Black Friday hits, you
it's
have someone
like
to go to the mall with.
Yeah.
Right, you know, so there's definitely perks to it.
There are perks.
There's more pros than cons when you look at it overall.
I don't know. But see, it's dating is seasonal. That goes back to the purposes of dating. And
right
now, I think a majority of people, at least millennials and people who have decided are making a conscious decision to stay single, it's a seasonal question. Or if you go by Tinder, it's a distance situation.
Right, like,
who's the closer?
And closeness.
But dating back then, it was like you said, it was a different time, and it was a different end game.
Yeah, different purpose to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I don't think that's gonna last. I think those days are over.
You do, huh?
It's a new dawn of America, Dr. John, and your version and your vision is outdated.
I'm the last of a dying breed.
You make dating sound so dark, like, oh my gosh.
It's not.
There's just no hope for this generation.
No, it's not. I think that this generation has something. They're onto something. I think millennials, if anything, and the statistics are millennials are getting divorced less. They're bringing the divorce rate down because millennials are waiting to get married. They're growing personally and pursuing their professional careers or whatever their passions are as an individual. And then they're finding someone when they've completed themselves. Whereas in the old days, people got married when they're 20, 25, and I mean, when I was Casera's age, I thought I was going to be, my life is nothing like I pictured. It's a much better than I could ever imagine. But I mean, this is not the life that I thought I would have.
Did you think you would be married with kids by
yes,
now?
I thought you I'd did. Be, I pictured, and I kept a journal when I was 20 years old for about 6 months. And it was supposed to turn into a blog, but I've been a little slow on that. But but essentially, the things that I prioritize in my 20s are nothing like what really matters to me now.
Yeah.
And so, I would tell stories of, you know, being with friends and saying, I can't wait till our kids grow up together and we live in, you know, Schaumburg or whatever. I'm not Schaumburg. And Schaumburg's a great city. I'm not.
It just wasn't going to be your destination.
But yeah, I mean, it was a suburb. I thought I'd grow up in the suburbs. I was going to have kids and this house with two cars and two kids. And now, like that, and I thought I would have a regular civilian job, be a lawyer. And those things are not on my spectrum, and I'm happy about it. So, and I think the great thing about millennials are that they are doing all these cool things. They have side hustles and all these things that make it hard to be in a relationship.
And in all seriousness, I actually agree with you to an extent. I think it's really cool that millennials are waiting to get married and they're establishing themselves, establishing a sense of identity through their 20s. I love that. I do think that there's still room in a lot of those lives for marriage. I just think it's coming later. And I think part of it does have to do with what you were saying earlier, that we are living longer, so there's no rush to get married. And I don't think that biological clock thing has quite the clang that it used to, in large part because I think some people have decided that's not for them either.
And that's the thing, too. In dating, the biological clock, I think, is different for men, too, because women who are dating in their 30s or later 30s or early 40s that want to have kids are pressed against a clock where they want to find someone on these dating apps or whatever they're doing to find someone that's beyond just cuffing season.
Right.
So that's a different priority, and there's a quicker need to resolve the relationship.
We've had a couple of callers asking about statistics, right? About marriage. And with any statistic that you look at, men always end up marrying or committing a few years later than women, in large part because that clock's not ticking.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. We actually have a call from a married person, Glenn. Glenn, you're on the air. Hi, Glenn.
Hey.
Thanks for calling.
Fine. How are you doing? You're welcome.
So you're married.
So about 35 years.
Okay. You are an expert on the field. Happily married, Glenn? Well, between us
yes,
girls?
I am. Okay. who's an expert? I mean, talking about, you see guys talking about the olden days, it's like, wait a minute, how old are you, 85? It's like what goes around comes around. I'm listening to you guys just talking about the description about cupping. I'm thinking, in the 60s, they just called it free love.
Yeah.
That's probably right, Glenn.
It's just everything cycles.
Free love,
Nothing's new. They've been getting together for the holidays in the 60s and the 70s. The same thing that they're doing now.
Well,
they just call it something else.
Yeah, on my podcast, Singles Only, we call it free form dating, where it's like, let's just see where it goes. It's like a jazz concert more than free love, hippie love, if we're going to be a musical reference.
Right. And Glenn, you bring up a good point. The truth is that as much as we're talking about how things have changed, by and large, you're probably right that relationships haven't changed altogether all that much. You take all the apps and all the technology and things out of it. And in the end, I would argue, and my co-host may disagree with me on this, that a lot of us are just looking for somebody to share our lives with. And, and sometimes that starts with cuffing season, and sometimes that starts with free love, and sometimes that starts with, you find somebody because you're afraid to a statue.
That was a splashing sound.
The more things change, what's the phrase?
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, it's just giving it a different title to the same old game.
Right. And I'm guessing, Glenn, though, that if you had the opportunity 35 years on, you'd still marry the same girl, yeah?
Yes, I would. Yeah. We lived together for 5 years, and I married into a family, and not everything's roses all the time, but.
It's hard work. Marriage is a hard job,
right?
It is, but there's hope for the new generation.
I think you're right about that, Glenn.
Like our ancestors said about us, there's hope for the new generation.
Well, you make a good point. Thanks, Glenn, for calling WGN Radio. We appreciate the call and the insight. If you've got calls, you want to call us and tell us your thoughts on marriage and cuffing, give us a call, 312-981-7200. We're going to take a quick break right here. Stay tuned. We are back on WGN Radio. Dr. John Duffy and myself, Paul Farivar, We are taking your calls. We are talking about relationships, dating, the future of America here. These are some troubling times. But and by the way, we are so sorry. A lot of your texters came in, but we took priority to calls, and you had some great ideas. We're gonna cover a lot of what you guys brought up. People were talking about red flags, which are kind of like deal breakers, but more red flags. We will definitely cover that at the next show we have, which is Friday, November 23rd, Black Friday, 11 to 1 a.m. Tune in. We'll be back. And then we're also back the following Friday, same time, same place. So we're going to be here. You guys can't get rid of us. And we had a very interesting story about someone who knows people are cheating at work with each other and whether he should or should not say anything. We will talk about that for sure. But one topic I want to talk about, a friend of mine brought this up, and I was dating someone who had a very, didn't like that I was best friends with my ex-girlfriend. And she had found a new person in her life. My ex and I, this is a real ex. I call it real because it was over 3 months.
Span. Got it. Yep.
But, so you really were. We dated for a year.
Yeah, you were a thing.
It ended bad where we weren't talking for a while, but then we started talking again, and I sincerely consider her a dear friend. She used to call me after dates, and I give her advice on guys, and she met this guy, and I was like, I was sincerely, with all my heart, John, I'm not kidding, hoping this guy would be the one, because she deserves happiness. She wants to be married and have kids. I just wasn't the right fit that way.
Right.
And the girl I was dating at the time when this was all happening, couldn't understand why I was still friends with my ex, and all my exes for that matter, almost all of them I still have a relationship with, and people have strong opinions on that.
Oh yeah.
What says you as an expert?
People definitely do. I think it's pretty cool when you can make that work. You know, I love that you wanted her to be happy, your ex, right? You know, that there's something really cool about that, and it makes me think, oh boys, maybe you guys were better friends all the way through than you ever were a couple. I certainly, though, understand how complicating it can be for somebody you're currently with to try to navigate the idea that you're still friends with your ex and to really believe, are you sure there's not still some attraction there?
Zero.
There's something there drawing.
Yeah, but there really was no attraction. It was funny because after we dated for a while, and there was one night we both had too much drink. She ended up in my bed, and like we were comfortable, but like we just started laughing. We're like, this is weird. Nothing happened, but right? we shared a bed, and nothing happened.
Were
and
you so, seeing the girl you're seeing?
No. That would have been a little different story.
Yeah, I don't
but
think
no, that didn't
out.
Happen. It was just we went out. We were both single at the time, and it was like years after the relationship, and we were like, what? It was like funny. Like we're like it was almost like weird, but
it's endearing. I like the story.
Yeah. I thought so. But yeah, it's a question people ask: can you stay friends with your exes? I think it's a little different when you get married, though, huh?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's way trickier. I actually have a friend, so I am not friends by and large with my exes. I don't think my wife is either, except maybe on Facebook or something. My best friend lives in New York. And he is close friends with all of his exes, and his wife is also really close with her exes. And somehow, maybe there's a modicum of jealousy there, but there's this kind of base understanding. They didn't get married until they were just about 50.
Right.
And there's maybe a base understanding like, this is, we accept each other's history. This all happened before we met. So you can be friends with your exes.
It's a possibility. And now they're in a swingers club together. Is that the story ends?
Not officially in any type of swingers club, and we'll keep their names to ourselves.
Sure. So, I don't know. A lot of people, we have strong opinions of that. I think that initially in that relationship, we didn't talk for a while. But after the dust settled and we moved on, we realized we were both good friends. We were better off as friends. And maybe that's what it is. Time heals all.
Yeah. I wonder if that tide is changing too. Whether the next generation, there will be more exes who are close.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on the breakup too. Like if the breakup was because of infidelity or something crazy.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
That plays a role. Mm-hmm. These are questions we will have to address when we have a little more time.
Luckily, we will have more time.
We will have time. Not on this show because we're running out of time here. We have to wrap up.
This went so fast.
John, we're done. We. We are going to be back on November 23rd. Please, please call in and message us or follow us on Facebook, Instagram. You can find me on Instagram at Paul Farvar, F-A-R-A-H-V-A-R. Or if you want to see upcoming shows, Paul F. Comedy is my website. I give away free tickets to my shows if you're a listener at WGN. So if you message me on any of those sites and say you listen to the show tonight, I'll give you free tickets to our show, Drink Date Laugh, which I run every Friday at the world famous Laugh Factory. I'm going to do that tonight. Unless the tickets sell out, you got to message me to get the tickets. Dr. John, what do you got to promote?
Well, let me just say, Paul is a great follow. I seriously encourage you to follow him. It is fun to follow you. You can find me at drjohnduffy.com. I'm Dr. John Duffy on Facebook, Dr. John Duffy on Twitter, and Dr. John Duffy on Instagram.
And, yeah, and listen to your podcast.
Yeah, my podcast is better. Yeah,
and mine is Singles Only, which is not as good as better. His is a lot better.
It's just a little better.
But we are out of time. Thank you, Dr. John. I will see you soon. Thank you, Kassara, for helping us.
Anytime. That was a great show, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you all.